Now, we've heard this week about this appalling outfit called the Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority. This mob have form. Back in 2008, I went into bat for stallholders at the Rocks markets. It was nothing short of an absolute disgrace. Basically, the same mob attempted to make major changes at the Rocks markets. The authority at the time, for whatever reason, systematically sought to break the hearts and spirits of stallholders. They were fed up. And I said at the time the Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority wouldn't have a clue. I said at the time we didn't need them. I said at the time they were bullies. I said at the time they were incompetent. And I said at the time that they'd lied and gone back on their word, and they were systematically destroying people's lives and the Rocks markets. One stallholder told me, which got me involved, that the authority were on the verge of culling 32 stallholders from the new market. They wanted to incorporate unworkable conditions. Some of the stallholders had been there for years. They were told they'd have to apply online to reserve a spot. There'd be no consideration for existing stallholders. Everyone was invited to apply. New applications would be considered with the same merit as those who'd been there for years. Selected stallholders from a pool would apply online, but only for 1 month's tenure. If unsuccessful, they'd be out of business for a month. Frank Sartor was the minister at the time. He was very sympathetic. Under some arbitrary system, stallholders would be told they were out of the market. No right of appeal. It was bully boy stuff. It was incompetence. It was everything that this mob at the Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority stand for. And indeed, one Friday night, they sent out rejection emails to stallholders. One stallholder received an email of non-acceptance meant for another stallholder. One stallholder was informed they were being thrown out of the markets by their supplier as information had been leaked to them by a Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority employee. It was a debacle. Then we heard from someone inside the Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority that they were, quote, waiting for the publicity to die down and they'd enact the changes they wanted in the first place. Well, fortunately, after a lot of song and dancing, we won. Stallholders were eventually guaranteed tenure, but not without a major blue. Now we learn the Rocks precinct is facing ruin. 15 of 95 commercial rentals are vacant. The headlines this week in the Daily Telegraph rightly said, Rocks on the Rocks. The birthplace of the nation on its knees. Millions of tourists visiting the area every year. Shops boarded up. The Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority at it again. A disgrace. Absolute disgrace. Rents of between $4,000 and $6,000 a week. The mob couldn't manage a sow in a pigsty. And this is what happens when you think management is about getting hairs on your chest, ripping people off to suck up to the state government by making money. And we're told the area is managed by the Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority, set up by Planning Minister Brad Hazzard. Brad, get rid of them. It's not managed. It's disgracefully mismanaged. They should be sacked. Which brings me to David Campese, whom I've argued the greatest rugby player ever to lace on a boot. I called him the Bradman of rugby. David Campese ran a very, very successful sports shop at the Rocks. It was iconic. I can remember during the Rugby World Cup, it was virtually compulsory for international rugby fans to go there, A, to see the great Campo, and then see pictures of test matches that he was playing. He'd play on his television sets around, and he was involved in the test matches. Visitors from all over the world. Well, Campo was run out of town. Why? Well, even for him, the rents were too high. When I spoke to the minister at the time, Frank Sartor, and he was quite genuine, Frank, but he was being told by the bureaucracy at the Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority, we've got protocols in place. We can't talk to the media. David Campese was in South Africa. He had deputed me to follow up in his stead. I wanted to ask this mob a few questions. And what did a bloke Andrew Peters say at the time? I'm happy to speak to David Campese, but I'm not permitted to speak to the media. Then we were put through to a PR person for the Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority, the joint run by one-star generals. Campo left and left Australia, like many others have, and he's on the line from South Africa. David, good morning.
Morning, Al. How are you?
Not too badly. You wouldn't be surprised by any of this, would you?
Nah, look, Alan, I mean, there were a lot of problems at the time, you know, and one of the biggest concerns, I suppose, was, you know, we had the Olympics in 2000 and the rent went through the roof then, but in 2000 onwards, the rent never changed. And obviously the world had changed, but the Rocks never did and the rents were ridiculous.
Mm. And you made these points many times. And when David sort of said to them, now the rents are ridiculous, can we have a look at an appropriate rent? They gave you 1 month's written notice. And if you wanted rental relief, you had to provide audited sales data for the past 2 years, broken down monthly, And they said the unaudited part year comparisons you've provided are not sufficient for a detailed assessment to be made. And you are making the point, were you not, in a simple way, that shops at the Rocks couldn't afford to pay the rent. Now we've got headlines this week, the Rocks on the Rocks. No surprise to you?
No, there's no surprise, but I tell you what's very interesting, Alan. When I finally closed up, I think it was 2010, I actually had a buyer who wanted to take over my lease and go on for another 5 years. And I went to the Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority and I said, look, obviously I'm struggling, but I have got somebody who's interested, and they said no. So therefore, no one took up my offer, and the shop was there vacant, I think, for about 18 months. Prime location on George Street, as you walk into the NCA, just boarded up for sale. Nobody. And I actually had someone for them, but they said it wasn't the retail they wanted in the area.
Astonishing. And not one of the people in the Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority would ever have employed anyone in their lives. They'd never have paid payroll tax. They wouldn't have filled out a form. And they're telling people who can do business and how they should do business. I mean, you and I said at the time, this mob should be put out to pasture, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you look back now, I mean, you're right. I mean, they've never worked in retail. They're trying to tell people who work in retail what they should be doing, what they should be selling. They've never actually owned a shop themselves. And I suppose, looking back now, I mean, that's the reason why I think the Rocks is going down the gurgle, as you're saying, because no one actually has got any retail experience. They sit there, look at numbers and say, this is the rent, bad luck. If you can't pay it, see you later.
Yeah. No commercial understanding, whatever. And therefore, the Rocks will be on the Rocks. Quick one before you go. Australian rugby, do you get to share your knowledge with young rugby people around the world?
Trying very hard, Alan, but obviously it's very difficult over in South Africa because they play a certain style. But I must admit, it was great to see the Australian cricket team in today.
How good was that? What is the mood over there? What's the response?
Not happy. but I must say, Alan, the thing is that I found very interesting from the South African side. They're the number one team in the world, and their attitude from the go out there is to defend, not to lose. And you're going to lose all the time, as you know, as a coach. You've got to go out there and attack the opposition. You'd rather get out having a go than get out trying to block the ball. And I think that's what South Africa did today.
Phenomenal.
I mean, they were a good side. But I must say, Lieben's turned his side around. If you can turn the cricket side around, I'm sure you, McKenzie, can turn the rugby side around.
You hope so. Do you realise that we won the Grand Slam in 1984 and it's 30 years ago?
Oh, no.
It seems like last week, doesn't it? There's going to be a reunion.
I can still see those training sessions you gave us in the mud, kicking crap out of each other. It was fun, Alan. Thanks.
And on one occasion, I can't remember, Campo! About 30 years.
That was a fun day, wasn't it?
Fun days, my friend. Well, listen, you, Campo and I keep in touch. It's one of the joys of all those years ago. I often say, Campo, in many ways as a team, we're closer now than we were then.
No, I think, you know, you get on in life and you don't see each other often, but it's always good to talk because it's just been back so many great memories. And I think that these young guys who are playing for Australia now, if they can actually go back and look at the Grand Slam and what we went through and how we won it, I'm sure they can learn a thing or two, and hopefully, you know, they get better and better. They have improved. They will get better. I think they just need a bit of encouragement and a bit of understanding. Rugby's a fun game.
Absolutely.
You've got to go and enjoy it. Absolutely. And when you enjoy it, you start winning.
You start winning. Good on you. Good to talk to you, David. And love to Lara and
the
kids.
Alan.
Love to Lara and the kids, and we'll
Fantastic.
Keep in touch. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. There he is. Well, that's just one of the casualties, of course, and you heard him. They've never got no retail experience, no commercial experience. They've got figures on a piece of paper, and they just run them out. There he is, the icon. Just imagine having David Campese permanently at the Rocks. Sports people all over the world know this bloke. He's a magnet, and he attracted them there. But came the time when even for him, the rent was too high. Now they boarded up, and as Paul Whittaker and his team at the Daily Telegraph rightly said this week in a big headline, Rocks on the Rocks.